Welcome to the Wag Out Loud podcast, where we are obsessed with bringing you helpful tips on canine healthcare, nutrition, and overall well-being. If you'd like to support the show, check out the amazing online events, products, and resources that I personally recommend on the Wag Out Loud website. I'm your host, Krista, and I'm super excited to be bringing you yet another tail wagging episode. Hello, everyone. This is Krista with episode number 59 on the Wag Out Loud podcast. Did you know that peanut butter really isn't good for your dog? And here's why. Most brands contain aflatoxins, which are dangerous molds that can cause cancer. It often contains harmful trans fats. The taurine in peanut butter can negatively impact heart health. Most are full of lectins, which can create inflammation and actually contribute to leaky gut. Many contain rancid fats that could be damaging to DNA. And of course, many contain sugar. And some peanut butter manufacturers add deadly xylitol. Why not try almond or cashew butter instead? A quick thank you to our friends at Alpha Paw for sponsoring this episode. Alpha Paw is the maker of the Paw Ramp, which is the number one veterinarian recommended dog ramp, and for very good reason. It is a fantastic product because of its quality construction, heavy-duty tread, and it has adjustable heights for use with furniture and for getting your dog in and out of the car. The impact from dogs jumping on and off of furniture is not good for any dog, especially the little ones. And of course, we want to avoid injuries that can lead to arthritis, disc disease, joint pain, or muscle weakness. Winston started using his paw ramp right away. It makes our life easier and gives us peace of mind. Just use the code WOL, standing for Wag Out Loud, when ordering from alphapaw.com and receive 20% off of your order. Welcome, dog lovers. Here we are again with another amazing episode. Today I have Dylan Ojeda, and he is the founder and POO, standing for the Primary Operating Officer of Duke, a subscription to compostable dog poop bag company, and they are based in California. Duke was launched in 2019 with his sister Nina after a long conversation about the environmental impact of her small doggos. And after searching for eco-friendly options, they realized that the term biodegradable was not regulated. So they found 100% plastic-free options and decided to create their own. Duke bags are made and packaged using 0% fossil fuels. They're eco-friendly with a veggie dye and no plastic wrapping, no plastic whatsoever, which is great. Dylan is based in LA. He loves to surf and is the unofficial and unpaid dog walker of his fur nieces and nephews, aka his sister's gang of doggos. Dylan, it's wonderful to have you here to talk about the price of poop.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Krista. I'm looking forward to talk about what we offer.
I love it. Yes, people, we're going to talk about dog poop, and I wanted to set the stage. First of all, one of my pet peeves is watching someone not pick up after their dog. And what many people might not realize is that dog waste is an environmental pollutant, and if it's not disposed of properly, it will often be flushed into streams and lakes before being completely broken down. Some more information I didn't know before, that the EPA classifies dog waste as non-point source pollution. So that's the same classification as herbicides, insecticides, oil, grease, and other toxic chemicals. And dog waste does contain an abundance of bacteria, parasites, worms, and more that, again, they wash into our local waterways and pollute our natural resources. Another interesting statistic is dogs in the U.S. produce 10.6 million tons of poop every year. The average dog deposits about 3/4 of a pound of dog poop daily, which adds up to 270 pounds of poop a year per dog. And in some cities, dog poop is the third or fourth most significant cause of water pollution. Dylan, this is a serious issue. What do you tell people who say, well, I pick up after my dog and I even reuse the plastic grocery bags? That's practical and cost effective, isn't it?
I know. It's actually interesting because I remember when we were first kind of establishing this whole thing, and you know, even growing up with a dog in my family house, you know, my parents were like, oh yeah, we'll use their grocery bags and, you know, reusing. And that's the kind of conscious thing of like, you know, trying to reuse, you know, single use plastic. And it's kind of funny when you start to dive into it and you realize, well, now I'm using this plastic bag and fossilizing something that actually can ultimately break down over time. And so it's kind of interesting now that you have to look at this issue of, you know, now grocery, I don't know if this is similar to where you live now, you know, in California, they, you know, now are trying to eliminate single-use plastics in grocery stores, mm-hmm. And using alternatives. So, you know, I think ultimately, you know, you have to think about the big picture, even when it comes to the disposal of plastics, but also from the front end of how they're actually manufactured. That's what something, you know, with learning about this whole process and kind of, you know, going with our business is crazy to think about, you know, from start to finish. You know, you only see, you know, one part of the life cycle of a plastic bag, but really it's much larger, a much larger scale than people even think about.
What is the difference between compostable, biodegradable, and recyclable?
So recyclable just means that it's just like any other plastic. You can melt it down, you know, and then turn it back into another plastic byproduct, essentially. Biodegradable is kind of loosely termed, and that's kind of what really kind of triggered us and to understand the differences. So biodegradable just kind of means that it can still be a plastic-based product, but eventually will break down into smaller microplastics, which is actually an even bigger issue. Compostability and what compostable stands for is something that is turns into natural byproducts. So what our bags essentially turn into is gas, and actually kind of turns into like a soil byproduct at the end. And so there's different certifications you can get from people who actually certify what compostability, what biodegradability, what recyclable actually means. And so when we were trying to find someone who could make our product, we found someone who can actually get those certifications for compostability and actually like home compost. But there is some issue with that to some degree when it comes to dog waste. And so that's another battle that we're still trying to, and what are some alternative methods.
Right. So most biodegradable bags on the market, or that are claiming to be biodegradable, they are primarily made of petroleum or corn. And again, Duke bags are 100% compostable and completely plastic free. What are your bags made out of?
So it's interesting because you actually did mention corn. So we actually do use a corn base, but we don't use petroleum in the production. It's a different copolymer, which basically is just like a chemical this company made that makes and binds the cornstarch into a solid.
I love them. And yes, I've tried the Duke bags and I love them for so many reasons. They're a great size. They do feel good. You know, a lot of the real plastic, you have a hard time even opening it because it clings together. And the Duke bags don't. They're a perfect size. They're a beautiful shade of blue. So I love them. Dylan, how long does it take for a Duke bag to actually break down?
Well, it ultimately depends, kind of like any other natural-based product. You know, it can break down as fast as 90 days. So just a couple months, it can break down depending on what it's exposed to. If it's stuck somewhere like on your shelf, you know, it's going to last for quite some time. I actually don't know what the full shelf life is because they go in and out of my position too fast.
Right.
Even the bags, you know, that I use for, you know, looking after my sister's dogs or, but I do know that if you were to put them in like a full compost, like a commercial compost, it's like 90 days, it will degrade.
Okay. In the intro, we mentioned that this industry is really not regulated. So there mm-hmm. are many companies out there with bags that they claim to be earth friendly or biodegradable, but they actually don't break down even within a year, and some never degrade at all. How are they getting away with these false marketing claims?
You know, it's tough. I think it's more of a political thing, I think, at this point. The government agencies aren't as focused on what they classify as biodegradable. This kind of reminded me of another situation for a long time. This is kind of into food products, but the term organic and, you know, versus the non-organic, you know, standard produce was actually not as regulated as much, but it just has to do with who classifies that from a government standpoint, you know, whether it's biodegradable or not. You know, the term biodegradable really just means that it breaks down into something smaller, you know, eventually breaks down smaller into something that you can no longer really tangibly see, but can still have impacts on our environment. And one of the biggest things that we see in our oceans is the influence of microplastics and getting into fish and eventually, you know, getting into our food because we eat the fish. Right? It's kind of down to where the governments need to help us regulate the term more. Some of this is getting some of these certifications where, you know, with like our bag, we have certain certifications. We got tested to a certain degree to kind of meet a quality standard. I really think it comes down to our government to try and help influence the issue.
Sure. And I understand that the American Society for Testing and Materials, that their international standards, that you meet those standards, and that's very strict criteria to meet that ASTM D6400, to be exact. Mm-hmm. So that's great that you guys fall under that. Can you tell us the process? I know that the bags are actually degraded by microorganisms. Is that right?
There are certain things within our soils that will help break down and decompose natural products, and it basically turn it into more of a soil. The term microorganisms is really the small little things that you can't see. And then I guess an analogy would be similar to like what is in your stomach that helps break down what you eat.
That makes sense. And do they, if they're put into a landfill, which most garbage goes to, is it truly degradable? Because do you need oxygen for the bags to degrade?
Yes. So this is one of our issues that we're trying to figure out. And really what's one of our issues with our just general waste management when it comes to, you know, our countries that we live in is how we dispose of waste. Landfills compact and basically have zero oxygen within them. And so it's something as simple as an apple core won't even biodegrade because there's nothing to help degrade it. Mm. You need oxygen for the things that live in there to eat and essentially break down what you're throwing in there. So they would not, unless the landfill is open to air. A lot of landfills use certain methods that basically compress whatever is in there to zero oxygen.
And can you tell us about your business model? You go by subscriptions, right?
You know, we established something, you know, as a subscription base, pretty much because we saw the need that, you know, dogs will always poop, and not having to worry about, you know, reordering bags. You know, I think there's been multiple times where I'm down to the last roll or last couple bags in the holder, and now you have to rush to the store. And so that was kind of the main thought behind it. Discussions with me and my sister on what we thought was going to be best for our consumers and you know, the people we work with. You know, we do have, you know, the ability to buy, you know, one-off boxes whenever you need them. But we figured it would be easier for people to just sign up and not have to worry about getting their supply. And let's say they get more rolls than they need within the next 2 months, they can always pause their subscription and then restart it whenever they want.
Okay. And is there just one size fits all, or do you have different sizes?
We've based it off of one dog essentially for a box, but depending on your frequency. So what we have the option for is, you know, 1 month, 2 months, or every 3 months that you can get a box. And in each box comes a dozen rolls. And what we've essentially equated, one box is to equal enough
bags for one dog for 2 months, depending on your frequency. So that's, I think it was 2 to 3 poops a day that you would use a bag for those 2 months that would carry you.
Got it. And some of the proceeds go to charity?
That is correct. Basically, at the end of the year, we sum up our total and we cut a percentage out and we write a check to, right now, what we've been trying to work with is the Ocean Cleanup Project. The biggest part of our charity that we want to donate back to is to Ocean Cleanup. We've also started in talks with rescues. So, you know, being dog lovers ourselves, you know, we wanted to also give back to rescues and people that help rescue dogs. One in particular that we worked with in the past is actually where my sister got two of her dogs from. So we have a good relationship with them, and we've been there to also support their events and help outreach as well.
That's great. And Dylan, how do you educate people to be more responsible dog owners and to maybe pay a little more for truly biodegradable bags versus conventional bags?
Well, a lot of it actually has been, you know, word of mouth from when we go to dog parks and talk to people about, you know, the small things that they don't necessarily consider. And we hope that people share that same vision. You know, being such a newer company, we've been trying to educate people through some of the events that we've worked and kind of explain the different details of how you can change the way you use waste or purchase products. I always use a great example of a company that I've always really admired is Patagonia, for instance. They have a very high quality product and they try to always reuse and recycle. And I've kind of tried to set a similar example within our company of we might not be the cheapest option, but if we educate the people on how we affect our planet and how we are affecting, you know, the place we live, maybe spending the extra dollar can actually end up going a longer way for your overall health and environment.
Great message. So for biodegradable poop bags to work effectively, we already talked mm-hmm. about the landfills. What do you think about, I know there's dog waste only composting bins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can certainly put our bags into that. You know, if they're designated for that, I would highly recommend that. You know, it's interesting to also look at the whole life cycle, right? I was kind of touching base on this a little bit earlier, but what's interesting about our bags not using petroleum is like people don't also think about where petroleum comes from, you know, how we get that product into our plastics. And the oil companies are not saying horrible, but some of the stuff that they do in order to get it is detrimental to our environment. And so, you know, maybe we might not have the best option at this time, but we're trying to work towards that. Getting people to think about the whole life cycle of a product is pretty important.
Yes. And with America's 83 million pet dogs, again, they create about 10.6 million tons of poo every year. But I can't believe this. Only 60% of dog owners actually pick up after their dogs. And the excuses offered by those people? Well, because it eventually goes away. It's too much work. I have a small dog, so that's only small waste. Or they do it in the woods. Or it's in my yard. Why are you worried about it? That's just unbelievable. Come on, people. Really? Wow.
It is interesting to kind of analyze the amount of waste and how waste is actually a carrier for other, you know, potentially harmful things as far as like health and wellness. You know, it's always kind of funny to think about it, but, you know, growing up as an engineer, the joke always was that, well, not really a joke, but kind of the interesting thing to think about was that the profession that has saved the most lives throughout history is a plumber because of the protection from waste and waste intrusion into our surroundings, our livelihood kind of area.
Interesting. Well, in closing, Dylan, do you have any last words on this subject?
I think the best thing for people to always look, you know, for, and, you know, even outside of dog waste is, you know, looking at the products you buy and the companies you buy from. We're kind of working to kind of donate to charities and donate some of our proceeds. And I think companies are trying to do that more and more now because we see it as a social responsibility. And so, you know, where people can, you know, look at other products and not just their dog waste bags. You know, there's a lot of companies out there who are trying to make a difference in the way that they run their companies and share their mission. So my word to people out there is to look at the companies and maybe spend the extra dollar, because in the long run and from future generations of their kids and their kids' kids, you know, they want a good place to grow up, a healthy place to grow up.
Absolutely. And I think we owe it to ourselves, our families, our planet, and our dogs to do the right thing and be responsible dog owners.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree.
Well, Dylan, where can everyone find out more information about you and Duke?
Well, we have a website. It's duke.co, not to be confused with .com. You can check out our website, a little bit of information there. We're actually looking to update and add a little bit more backstory. We also have a LinkedIn that we share interesting articles about different climate changes that governments are doing, or just environments, different cleanups that people are, you know, initiating within their given communities. Those are probably the two best places. If you shoot us an email, you can find our website. I'm actually one who responds to you. So if you want to reach out to me directly, you can definitely shoot us an email through our website.
Great. And our friends at Duke want to share an amazing offer with our Wag Out Loud community. Just use code WOL when ordering off of their site and get 25% off of your first purchase. That is fantastic. And I encourage everyone to take advantage, because I love my Duke bags. Dylan, we want to thank you for spending time with us today.
I really appreciate it, Krista. Thank you.
Thanks again to the team at Alpha Paw for sponsoring this episode and for making one of my favorite products, the Paw Ramp. Remember to use the code WOL to receive 20% off when ordering from alphapaw.com. Thanks for listening to the Wag Out Loud podcast. If you enjoy the show, please be sure to subscribe for free, and we'd love to hear your comments. You can find out more by visiting wagoutloud.com, and there you'll find great product recommendations, amazing online events, and fantastic resources. That's also where to visit our Bark About It page, where you can suggest topics, guests, or products. Please be advised that this show offers health and nutritional information and is designed for educational purposes only. You are encouraged to do your own research and should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace, professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your dog's health, you should always consult with a veterinarian or nutrition expert. I appreciate you. Catch you next time.